Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully. You know, elections have consequences, and sometimes those consequences are major. Part of the point here is that it is important for us to vote always, and it's important, I think, for us always to encourage others to vote as well. We recently had an election, and Pierce County's election was particularly consequential because Jannie Hitchin in District 6 was elected as a Democrat, the first time that's happened in that district for 17 years, and the further consequence is that the Pierce County Council now has a Democratic majority, which is, we can expect, going to change the direction of the council. Jannie is very aware of environmental issues, I think in a thoughtful and practical kind of way, and also same thing in terms of climate change and carbon emissions and similar concerns related to the climate. So I had a conversation with Jannie, and let's listen in and see what she has to say about her vision going forward for Pierce County. Well, we're happy to have Jannie Hitchin with us today. Jannie's just recently elected to the Pierce County Council, District 2. And good morning, Jannie. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, John. And I'm actually in District 6, just to clarify, but that's okay.
Okay. Yeah. So Ryan Mello's in District 2, and I kind of knew that, but thanks for the correction.
Yep. That's okay.
Okay. So we got, when do you actually take office?
My swearing in is going to be live streamed 10 a.m. on January 4th. And then my first official meeting is January 5th. So we boom, boom, start the year.
Hit the ground running. Yeah. So I'll look forward to watching that. Just a quick aside here, we'll have some program notes on a website that I'll give you. And so if I can find a link for that, I'll go ahead and put that on our website so folks can take part.
Okay.
In a certain sense. Okay, cool. So, all right. So, boom, boom. What do you see as some of the areas that you're going to be focusing on in the new year?
So, I think one of the things definitely right off the bat, we know that the COVID recovery is going to continue. We know we're implementing our vaccine plans and just trying to get that out as quickly and efficiently and logically as possible with the health department's work. And so I think that continuing to find ways to support families that have been hurt, we are still in a holding pattern like every other city and county and literally state to see what the federal level does. And then what do we have to do at the state level? And then what do we have to do at the county level to make sure that people are cared for? Looking ahead, we'll see what happens, but it's kind of a hurry up and wait situation with our, just like one group is waiting for the next group to figure out something before they can do their plans, which makes everything rushed. But that definitely will be high on my list. And the groups of people that I'm concerned for everyone, but the groups that I'm worried about right now is many of our families that are living in apartments or in rentals that either the rental assistance or the eviction moratorium will come to an end. And where do they go from there? And the other part is many of them have been getting rental assistance and they've been scraping by. But if that rental assistance goes away, and this goes for families and for businesses, then what happens? And it's that then what happens that I think the county needs to be coming up with some pretty significant hit the ground running plans so that whenever that does stop from the state and federal level, we are ready to do as much good as we can and support as many people as we can.
Yeah, this COVID has certainly reshuffled the cards for everybody, and I understand the urgency of what you're talking about there. I'm just wondering, this early on, are you talking already with other council members about the problems you're going to be facing, in particular around COVID?
I have been. I know So Derek Young and Marty Campbell have both reached out and been, you know, very supportive of both, you know, during my campaign, just giving giving me insights, answering questions if I had them. You know, when talking to voters, they would bring up things that I would not be 100% sure, and far easier to call one of them and get their insight to ask questions. And then in addition, I have been, or I will be at least, I've been working at the county level to kind of learn, you know, learn the ropes, figure out how to do this job. I have a meeting set up for after Christmas with Doug Richardson, who's the outgoing representative for District 6, just to kind of get his take, you know, what are the things that I didn't hear. And then I've also am arranging a meeting with the person who ran against me, because the people that he talked to probably weren't the same people that spoke with me, so that I can represent the 6th district as a whole and make sure that everybody feels represented. But that I am all about getting information and learning from other people. So that's what I started with, and that's what I will continue to do.
So implied in there is you're already reaching across the aisle. Of course, Richardson and Whalen are both Republicans. And so do you see that as a part of your future on the council?
Absolutely. I think that, I know for me, one of my frustrations and reasons for running is I get frustrated when people are elected to office and then party politics gets in the way of doing what we elected them to do. And so I kind of, you know, I'm not a politician. I'm a science teacher, but I'm very good at talking to people. And so I have every intention of making sure that work is moving forward. And though we will have the Democratic majority, that doesn't mean everything will get, you know, go our way. We still are going to need to work together. And we need to make sure that as a county that we are representing the county, and we have Democrats, we have Republicans, and we have, you know, name any other party. They live here in our county, and we need to make sure that that their voice is heard. And we can't solve all the problems, but if we don't talk to each other, then we either are not going to know the problems that are out there, or we won't be able to actually address them, because if you don't know it, you can't fix it.
Yep, understood. So, of course, this radio program is about climate, but climate has become, for better or worse, political. So that's one of the reasons why I'm so interested in how the politics are playing out for us down here locally in kind of a way that we can grasp. So when you had your conversation with Richardson, how did that go? Did you find him forthcoming, or was it a strained conversation? How was it?
I haven't had this formal meeting. That one's happening later, but I have spoken with him, and he was very nice and ready to answer questions and willing to kind of provide information. So we haven't talked policy yet. I've definitely been having those conversations with, member-elect, Mello, and with, Campbell and Young, but, and even with, the newly elected Hans Zeiger, you know, just introductions, conversations, and starting that dialogue, because we have to start somewhere. We have a lot of work to do in our county, so we need to make sure that we're willing to talk to each other. But I'm looking forward to talking to Richardson. I met him the other day when I was at the county building for the first time, and actually went up to where my office is going to be. And it's getting very real, John, at this point, that I'm doing this.
So, yeah, life has got a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
So who's the chair of the new council? Is it Derek Young?
So that will be determined on the 5th. We will elect our chair. I think the assumption that I'm getting from people that are there that it will be Derek, because he's the most senior member of the council, which we are very young as far as number of years on the council. There's 4 of us that are brand new this year. And then the 2 that are remaining, or the 3 that are remaining, 2 of them have only been on for 2 years. And then there's Derek, who this is his 6th year. So he finished 1 full term and he's halfway through his 2nd, and he won't be able to run again in 2 years. So there is an assumption that it will be Derek, but we still need to elect someone. So.
Understood. Yeah. So your quote, young unquote, council, I think there's a lot of folks that would look at that as an asset, you know, fresh thinking and fresh energy coming in. So just speaking from my own perspective, I think having some newbies, I think, you know, it's easy to understand why people could get a little cynical or jaded after many years in politics. So I personally welcome this freshness into the council. So, of course, COVID's a problem. Sometimes in life we can look at, okay, we've got problems we can solve, or we have to solve, but we also like to look ahead with visions to good stuff. Mm-hmm. So what do you see looking ahead in the council in terms of possible good stuff?
So I think one of the things that I think I anticipate seeing in the future is a better collaboration with some of our nonprofits that are in our community and some of our organizations. Like, we have the Homeless Coalition, which is made up of nonprofits and a variety of other, different organizations across our county that are really trying to find real solutions, not just talk about it, but actual solutions to our homelessness issues that we are attempting to try and fix. And I was in a training for commissioners and council members from across the state, and it is an issue in every nook and cranny of the state. I heard it from, you know, the far corner of Eastern Washington, down on the peninsula, all the way across. Everyone was like, we have a homelessness problem. And so getting minds together and coming up with solutions, I think will be hopefully better for everyone. But it's for me personally, it's about doing something. And even if it's a small first step, it's that step in actually taking action against something that I think will help the community. And I know that I am very excited to be working with different organizations and creating partnerships. And the partnerships could be between different counties. So looking, you know, along the I-5 corridor at King and Thurston and our county, is there things that we could do that would help any of the issues with our environment along the Sound and the I-5 corridor? Or is there anything that we can be doing when it comes to homelessness or human trafficking or any of the issues that we know are problematic for our community, and then take action on those? And I think that collaboration is going to be key to actually getting some pretty significant work done.
Yeah, that's a pretty exciting idea that the counties can be talking to each other and addressing these problems. I'm sure the homeless people don't pay much attention to what the county boundaries are, and so that makes total sense. You made reference to environmental kinds of things. Of course, we are a climate slant environmental radio program. So do you see any role for the council in terms of what the environment, the physical environment, the natural environment looks like in Pierce County?
So one of the things that with all of the funding cuts that I am worried about, I worry about our parks. And I just want to make sure that we continue to support our parks in our community, because I think Pierce County does a pretty good job with green space when it comes to parks. I'd love to see more, but I mean, just maintaining what we've got. I know that our, it's the 2030 sustainability plan, I think is the correct name. That was supposed to be presented this month to the current council, and it's been delayed for the next council to look at. And my big focus is, once we take a look at what we are saying as a county, the county should be doing, whether it's electrifying our fleet of vehicles, or looking at, can we increase the number of things that we're asking people to do, as far as, like, if you're building new construction, we want you to put in resources as far as like solar panels or water that's, you know, low impact. What is it? High
something
flow.
Like that.
Yeah, where basically it's, you get, you know, bigger bang for your buck. Like you pay for the same amount of water, but it comes out and you feel like, I know there's technology related to that. Anyways, I digress, but essentially making our people who are building homes and building facilities in our community, holding them to environmental standards that we know are going to conserve water and keep electricity pull low, and, you know, carbon neutral if we can get there, as far as the types of materials we're choosing to build with, and all the different kinds of things that we can do and we can control, we should be trying to make it as environmentally friendly and sustainable as much as we possibly can. And so I'm super excited to see this plan. But the other part of it is it'll be a PowerPoint that's presented to the council. It'll be a report that's presented to the council. I want to make sure we actually follow through on those things. So it's just a pretty piece of paper until we actually put the energy and money behind doing the actions that are suggested to help with climate change. And that's where I think our new council will be pushing towards.
Yeah, that's such a key point, because we see even all the way up to the Paris Accords, where jurisdictions saying we're going to do A, just sort of as a promise without any teeth in it. And then as time passes, we find out, oh, well, they didn't do A after all. So I'm certainly very much supportive of the idea of like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Now let's make sure we do it. And you know, I drive an electric car myself, and I'm a big fan of those. And of course, you're aware that in Pierce County, a big chunk of our carbon pollution comes from transportation. And so the county going to electric vehicles, I think it'd be great. And, you know, there's a little side thing on that, which is of interest. And that is, because we have hydropower in most of the county, we're using clean electricity to operate our clean vehicles. And a part of that is that the money that we spend for that electricity is kept right here in Pierce County, rather than being sent off to Houston or wherever the oil revenue goes. And so in terms of housing too, you know, one of the things that I would love to see going forward is that houses at least be wired up for electric vehicle charging. And well, one beyond that, multifamily units too. It's such a charging up electric vehicles in multi-family housing right now is just problematic. So if you can keep those things in mind, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, I definitely have had that in mind, especially for homes. But it's trying to figure out if you were having, you know, apartment complexes or duplexes or fourplexes that had access to that. First off, almost every electric car that you see in this day and age tend to physically be smaller. So not only are you incurring, so then, you know, you take up less space as far as parking, but it's just the idea that they would be able to park, charge in their homes and not have to worry about the security of having it parked somewhere else or having to charge at work, which a lot of places don't have. So I think, and I don't feel like as you are building, it's going to change much as far as it might with a multifamily or apartment complexes, but definitely with a single family home, it's just about having an exterior point that is convenient to where most electric cars charge, and having it set up for the correct, you know, amount of juice coming out of the wall. So I think yep. It's something that's doable, and I don't see why the county can't push that through. But again, I'm learning how all this stuff works. So I say I don't see why they can't, and I'm sure somebody will have a reason why they can't. And so we just to push for that if it's something that's important. And I think, like you said, so much for electricity, I don't know the percentage, but it's really high in our community, that the electricity that we get is all from our fantastic hydroelectric setups that we have. So I think it makes a lot of sense to do that.
Yep. If the houses are pre-wired, in my own case, I was fortunate that the wiring as it existed was easily modified. And I actually only had to pay about $100 to have an electrician to come in and put that little circuit in. So it does, if the house is ready, it doesn't need to be an expensive proposition to get ready for your electric car. Anyway, so probably enough on electric cars. I am, as you can tell, I'm enthusiastic for them. And I love going out to drive in my car and thinking, I'm moving around and I'm enjoying my car and I'm not putting any carbon dioxide out into the atmosphere. So way to feel good about myself. So speaking of that, perhaps you're aware of Ryan Mello. In terms of his position as executive director of the Pierce Conservation District, has recently introduced a carbon credits program, which I'm very enthusiastic about. And I think that'll be impacting the county also, especially in terms of planting trees and so on.
Yeah, I think the idea of kind of those cyclical plans where basically if you do this, then it will make us do that. So the idea that you're going to, and I haven't read the details on how that would, how it's being implemented, but the idea of actually having carbon having a consequence, essentially, like if you're going to produce it, how are you going to neutralize it? And that just makes a lot of sense. If we actually want to see a reduction in greenhouse gases, we need to do one of two things. One, change like the amount of greenhouse gases, or increase our ability to absorb and neutralize. And it seems like this plan kind of does both. So I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yep. Yeah, those are the two choices. Quit putting it out there or pull some of that carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So in terms of your constituencies, what are your thoughts in terms of communicating with them, hearing what they have to say, and making sure that they know what your thinking is, what your projects are within the council?
So one of my big focuses will be to figure out the best way to get communication out there. I think from Richardson's side, from what I have experienced, if you wanted to influence him or talk to him, you had to reach out actively. And that meant either emailing or calling. And I guess I would like to make it a little bit easier for people to get a hold of me. And so email and calling is always going to be like direct communication. And when I was hiring my assistant, that was one of the things I was really looking for, was somebody who was skilled at helping me facilitate communication with people who have direct concerns. But I also like the idea of having sessions like what I did when I was campaigning, where it was like, I want to go and listen to the people on Anderson Island. What are your concerns? And these are some ideas that I have. What are your thoughts? Like, is there something that I am missing in my thinking? Because I don't live on Anderson Island. And the same is true for DuPont and Lakewood and Steilacoom and even Tacoma, though it's adjacent to where I actually live. And then talking with my partners on Joint Base Lewis-McChord, here's what we're thinking. What are your thoughts? And so making sure that when I'm talking for the 6th district, that I have made every effort to get their voice. And so I think with Zoom and the other online platforms that we can use now, even after COVID, I have the ability to set up a meeting where people who are interested and want to provide their voice to decision making, I can make that happen now. And, you know, a year ago, none of us had heard of Zoom. And it was, you know, the idea of actually holding a virtual meeting was not something that the general public had really ever thought of. And now it's commonplace. And, you know, and so I think continuing to use the tool of technology to continue that dialogue, I think, is going to be key, especially while COVID is still a thing. But I think even after COVID is a thing, because it allows, you know, if you have a phone, you can call in. If you don't, if you have internet, you can be, you know, live and interact and video can be there. And I think continuing that will be, I think, really helpful in increasing the engagement with our community.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right about that. It has changed everything, the fact that we have been doing our meetings by Zoom. Of course, you know, I'm a Citizens Climate Lobby activist, and So we've been getting speakers come in, including you, by the way, which we really enjoyed via Zoom. And because of the convenience of it, we're able to get more people talking to us. And so as we look forward to post-Zoom, we think we're still going to be doing that. We may be meeting in person, but we'll have a speaker up on the screen that has the convenience of meeting by Zoom. So I'm sure you're right. And it does sound like a great way of reaching out to the community in a way that's practical and convenient. So it'll be fun to watch how that evolves for you. So you made a reference, in further reference to communicating, there was lots of interest, as you know, in this recent issue that the council considered, which was essentially the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department breaking off the county part and essentially leaving us with two separate organizations. And of course, that recently, that it was considered and then abandoned recently. So what are your thoughts about why that happened and what the role of communication from the public was in that rather strange, unexpected outcome?
Strange is a good way to talk about it. after 4 hours of testimony in that vote, it was just like, you were like, wait, what just happened? I think the biggest thing with that particular process, and for anyone who's listening who isn't aware, didn't follow the many, many, many articles that came out in the editors board, TNT, and a variety of other communications. Essentially, it was getting rid of the agreement. So between the city of Tacoma and Pierce County, and so it's a city-county district agreement between the two, where basically it allowed the city of Tacoma to have two members of the board, and then the Pierce County Council had two members of the board, and then we had a doctor as a member of the board on the health department board. Seems important to have a doctor. And then we had somebody representing our smaller cities and towns. And so that particular makeup allowed it to be a voice for the community as a whole. And so they were basically saying, nope, the entire Pierce County Council is now going to be the health department board. And me as a science teacher probably would have had the most science background. Maybe Ryan Mello also has a lot of science background. I'm not 100% sure, but definitely nobody's a doctor. And so I was very concerned about it for that perspective. I also liked that you didn't have the whims of what, unfortunately, in our county is a very partisan council. At least that has been the way it's been for the last 17 years. They are beholden to the people that vote for them and the people that support their campaigns. And that makes me nervous. And so when we have some people who are coming from different political animals, if you have a city and a county and you have a doctor who's completely separate and you have somebody representing your cities and towns, so a mayor, you don't end up with the politics of a group of people that are working together on policy. You kind of have a potluck, if you say, a little bit from everywhere. And so I think that's really important. And the outcry when that happened, the amount of people from across our community that were very concerned, people came out of nowhere and said no and took action. And there were leaders from across our community that basically said, now is not the time to be making this change. Even if you delay it, one of our biggest concerns, and one of the reasons the amendment to go ahead and delay it still didn't fix the problem, was we were very concerned that leadership at the department would go, well, I don't like this, the way it's organized. I'm going to dust off my resume and go look for a new job in the middle of the most complicated immunization program ever. Like this vaccination, not immunization, program is going to be excessively complicated, and we need a steady hand at the helm, making sure that it's going well. And if Dr. Chen or any of the people who are organizing this decided, I'm kind of done with this. You guys aren't treating us well, and left. I mean, that vacuum is, it would be really difficult in this current time to find somebody to come in and take over. And it just, it was not a good timing for the whole thing. So.
Yeah. Well, the takeaway, at least one of the takeaways for me as a climate activist, often I hear a little bit of, despair almost in individuals, like, what can I do? And one of the things, of course, that is said is, well, communicate with your elected representatives. And right after that, there's something like, well, what difference does that make? And I certainly understand the perspective, but this is an object lesson to us that if we are engaged and we do communicate with our elected representatives, it can make a difference. So I personally was a little cynical on the whole subject of communicating with elected representatives. I do it, but with, you know, some reservation, but it was instructive, interesting, encouraging, really, to see that an outcry, as you referred to it, can make a difference. So for folks listening in who wonder sometimes, well, does it make any difference whether I communicate or not? It does. It's real clear that if we don't communicate, it has no effect. And if we do communicate, it might have an effect.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that really stood out from this particular action is that, you know, the message was the same, that now was not the time. And that took some leadership and that took some direction from people. But I mean, the Pierce County Young Democrats organized the rally on the steps outside the county building. So, you know, we had that group working on it. We had elected officials working on things. We had, you know, getting together and getting people from across the county, whether they were on a city council or a mayor. We had people calling in during, you know, and attending the Zoom meetings, even if it wasn't on the agenda, they were there just to make public comment at the end and just remind them, hey, this is a bad idea. And it wasn't just doctors. It was, you know, school board members were calling in and elected officials were calling in. And, you know, it was amazing to hear so many people and different stories and different reasonings, but the message, the overall message is now is not the time. And I think that helped. I think that the outcry, I believe they thought this would just slip through. So obviously that failed.
Yep. Well, and just speaking for myself personally, I think they made the wise choice. So I'm happy about that. Well, we are getting close to the end here, Jenny. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, you've alluded a few times to being a science teacher. So how is that going to fit in with being a council member?
So one of the things, once I kind of learned about what this job would entail, I had to, before I was officially running, I kind of did my homework because that's what I do, and realized that with the timing of it, I would not be able to do either job well and serve either of the groups that I was supposed to be working for if I tried to do both. And so I have resigned my teaching position, and there is a clause in our collective bargaining agreement that allows for that. I think actually my school district is pretty excited to have a teacher who's been on the county council, just so that I kind of know the needs of schools, like direct needs. But I did resign so that I would be able to do this job and put 110% in it, just like I've always done with my job as an educator. It's, you know, it's a full-time 110, even in July and August, our summer's off. And I'm using air quotes that you can't see on the radio, but, you know, we always are working, diligently as educators to figure out what we can do better. So I'm excited to put that energy and, work ethic into this very full-time job that I plan on doing for Pierce County for the next 4 or possibly 8 years.
Well, I thank you for your service as a teacher. My father was a teacher, and I understand from that perspective, the challenges and also the love and devotion that most teachers bring to their profession. So thanks so much for your service. And we are pretty much out of time here. I'll just say that there seems like there's lots more that I'd love to talk to you about. I will be watching with great interest as the council moves into 2021, and I would like to stay in touch with you. So thanks for stepping up to run. Congratulations on flipping a district. I believe the first time it's had a Democratic council member since for 17 years or something like that. So congratulations on that. And I guess the short version is thanks for all you do.
No, you are welcome. And thank you for all your support through everything. And I look forward to continuing a dialogue with you.
All right. That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Jenny. Have a great day.
Bye.
So there you have it. It was great talking to Jenny, and I'm looking forward to keeping my eye on the Pierce County Council over the next few years to see how things go there. So much of consequence, and in particular, is Pierce County going to have building codes that accommodate a cleaner future? Transportation in Pierce County, how's that going to work? Are we going to preserve our beautiful places in Pierce County? And so on. So that's it for today. I've enjoyed having you with us. I have put a program note in regarding Jenny's installation, her swearing in as the representative for Pierce County Council District 6. You can check that out on the website, ccltacoma.org. That's Citizens Climate Lobby. That's what that CCL stands for. Also, I'd love to hear from you if you're inclined to give me some of your thoughts. John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org. Love to hear from you. Okay, that's it. Here I am reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care.